I want to talk to you from the subject, and here is my scripture, and here is the subject. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is the subject for this morning. Coming from the 23rd Psalms, coming from the first verse of the 23rd Psalms. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth and fadeth away. But it is the word of our God that shall last, that shall stand, that shall endure forever. At a banquet on one occasion, an orator of some great skill and great rhetoric, known across the country as a tremendous speaker, was called upon at the end of the banquet to make a recitation. And he stood and he recited the 23rd Psalm. Now, people, in admiration of his great oratorical skills, they stood and they gave him a standing ovation for about 5 minutes or so because of his great skill at delivery. There was an older man at the back of the room who came to the mic, and he did the same 23rd Psalm. And this time, people wept. But for the young man, they clapped and they cheered. And so at the end of the banquet, the older man was approached by the young man. And the young man asked the older man, he said to the older gentleman, he said, "Sir, when I recited the 23rd Psalm, they clapped, they cheered. But when you recited the 23rd Psalm, they wept. What's the difference?" And the older gentleman looked at the young man and he said, "Well, son, the difference is you know the song, but I know the shepherd. I know the shepherd. And I want us to get to know the shepherd this morning. I know we know the Psalms, but I want us to know the shepherd." And see, this 23rd Psalms to me is like, okay, come on, y'all come with me now. This 23rd Psalms to me is like a good chicken wing. Okay. I say like a good chicken. Okay, what? It's like a good chicken wing. You know, a chicken wing has three parts. Now, you know, you have that little drumette, and then you have that wing, and then you have that other little piece that nobody knows what to call it. Just say amen when you can. You can just put it in the chat. Amen. And, but you're not on it anyway, because it's so good. That's kind of like how the psalm is for me. And I know we're going over this psalm, but I want to share something with you that I pray that's going to help you, because this psalm of David introduces us, when you look at the psalm in and of itself, the first part of the psalm, Psalm 23, David introduces us to the one who will take care of our frailty. Down further in the psalm, you find out that he's the same one that takes care of our foes. And then by the time you get to the end of Psalms 23, you find out this same one takes care of our future. You see, he takes care of our future. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's my future. "He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy." That means he takes care of my foes. But what I want to focus on today is our frailty, how he takes care of our frailty. You see, in this prayer yesterday, Doc, at the close of, and we had an excellent time, wonderful time, for those who weren't able to make it, for our mental health, preparing your mental health for your spiritual self, webinars we've been going through. But Doc, at the end of the prayer, he said a reference that was made to the Good Shepherd. And that confirmed for me where I wanted to park my theological vehicle on this day. So y'all just come on, get out the car, just walk with me around this particular pericope of text that I'm picking up and pulling on for preaching at this particular period. I'm not going to go over all the Psalms, but I want to focus on the one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want to focus on that this morning, the "I shall not want" part. Because if "I shall not want," that suggests to me, kinfolk, that somebody, someone is a provider. And in this case, that is the shepherd. So let us focus this morning on why we need a shepherd. Let's focus on why we need a shepherd. Come on, walk with me. Walk with me. I want to take you on a journey this morning. I want you to walk with me through the most populated prison in the world this morning. This facility has more inmates than beds, more prisoners than plates, more residents than resources. It's the world's most oppressive prison. Just ask any of the inmates. They are overcrowded, underfed. Their walls are bare. Their bunks are hard. There's no windows, no doors, no bars. No prison is more populated than this one. No prison is more oppressive than this, nor no prison is more permanent than this. Most of the inmates never leave. They never receive a parole. They never escape. They never get released. They end up serving a life sentence in this overcrowded, under-provisioned facility. You might want to know the name of this most infamous place. Well, it's not Angola in Louisiana, or Rikers Island in New York, or the now defunct Alcatraz Island in San Francisco, nor is it the well-known prison just right down the road, Statesville, for those of us who live here in the Midwest Illinois region. You see, over the entrance of this prison, rainbowed across the entrance of the gate, is the name of the prison. And it's here are the four letters to the name of this prison. W-A-N-T. It is the prison of always wanting. You want a bigger car. You want a bigger house. You want a man. You want a woman. You want more money. You wish you had more time. You want more education. You want more clothes. You want more shoes. You want to make it to retirement. You want your kids to act right. You want things to go back to normal. You want your candidate in the White House. Say amen when you can. Young people want to be old. Old people want to be young. Somebody that's a size 16 wants to be a 14. A 14 wants to be, if I could just be a strong 12 again. Some people want to lose weight. Some people want to gain weight. Old people, when they were young, they wanted everything. Now that they're old, they don't want anything except for some peace and, come on, say it with me, quiet. They ain't looking for nothing. Just give me some peace and quiet. You spend all your life chasing after things, and then all of the things that you've acquired mean nothing to you. Our reach, kinfolk, has exceeded our grasp. We are busy trying to accumulate and get and store and house things until we now even have shows about hoarding things. We just had to have it. We just got to have it. I just had to have that exercise bike. Now you're hanging clothes on it. Say amen when you can. Okay, listen. You just had to have that set of weights in your basement. Now I know why they call them weights. Because that's all they're doing is just waiting on you to come use them. Preaching to myself right now. Okay. Listen, allow me to sagaciously suggest that we have reached a saturation point so that at the first time in history that we have folk now dying, not from starvation, but from overeating. That should just boggle your mind right there. How can you die from having too much? That's all obesity simply means, is that you have too much to eat. Now, this is not a message about obesity. What I want to do is I want us to understand this ideal of being trapped in this prison of want. We have things, and the more things we have, the more things we want. And the more things we want, the more things we have. And the more things we have, the more things we want. And we get trapped into this vicious cycle of always wanting more, 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 more. Now, understand, at no time have I mentioned anything about God, because that is not what we're wanting at this point. We want so much until we can't even park our cars in the garages because of all the things, not that we want, because of all the things that we already have. And now we have to have a garage sale to get rid of the things that we have too much. We don't have enough room for. So we put those things out on the driveway so other people that have things, that already have things, can come back and get some of your things to add to their thing. So now they can put more stuff in their garage so they can never have a garage sale. And get rid of all of the things that they got from you that they don't need. And the one thing that you really need, the one thing that we really need, and that's what's missing. And the one thing that we really need is a shepherd. What you and I need is a shepherd. We need a shepherd because we need to be in the presence of someone that can lead us and guide us and protect us and provide for us, because we are like sheep. We really are like sheep. I think Isaiah said it best. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. But we need a shepherd, kinfolk, because a shepherd provides for his sheep. A shepherd protects his sheep. And that's why the sheep want to be in the presence of the shepherd, because the shepherd does all of these things for the sheep so that the sheep does not have to want. We've been talking about kingdom disciples, putting God first, seeking ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, if you are not seeking after a shepherd, then you just lost in the field. And when you're out there lost in the field, sheep get dirty, they live in danger. I know we don't like to say they're dumb, but they're not very bright. Sound like us. Listen, kinfolk, we need a shepherd. You see, the shepherd, we need the shepherd. We need that great shepherd of the sheep through whom the blood of the everlasting covenant can make you perfect in every good work, to work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. We need that shepherd that is the bright and morning star. We need that shepherd that is from everlasting to everlasting. We need that shepherd who is the way maker. We need that shepherd who is the creator of things both seen and unseen. That's the creator that I'm talking about. Now listen to me, because if your happiness comes from something that you can either deposit, drink, drive, or digest, you will always have issues in this life, because you will never be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied because you will always want more. And watch this. One more always wants one more. Boy, you preaching now. One more always wants one more. If I could just go to the club one more time, if I could just go by Sally's house one more time, if I could hook up with Johnny one more time, if I could just get one more hit, one more drink, one more always wants one more. Listen, nothing wrong. Okay. Because you always want one more, you become imprisoned by the wrong wants. Nothing wrong with wanting. It's something wrong with becoming imprisoned by the wrong ones. You see, nothing wrong with wanting things. The issue is priority. God wants you to want him first. All those other things, you will get those other things because he is the provider of all things. He provides all things. But God wants you to put him first. And you need to know that any created thing, stay with me now, any created thing that you want more than the creator king is too much. Any created thing that you want more than the creator king is too much. You see, You need to understand, well, what is a created thing? Everything that you see is created. Make a list of everything that you own and it has been created. Your cars, your shoes, your kids, anything that you can think of has been created. Because God is the creator, but we are the creatures. We are the created things. And we cannot care for more of the created things than we care for the creator. Because what ends up happening then is you start to fall into idolatry. Listen, God created everything. He created everything. Name one thing that is not created. You can't, because God created all things. And what you need to understand is that whenever you crave the created above the creator, you're heading for a crisis. Whenever you crave the created more than the creator, you're heading for a crisis. What is a crisis? A crisis is a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. That's why sheep end up in danger, because when they're not following the shepherd, they end up in situations of intense difficulty. They get caught up in the thicket over here. They fall over into the stream over here because they are not following the shepherd. God created everything. We don't need more things. We need a shepherd. The creator king gives to the created thing everything that the created thing needs to survive. I'll run it by you again. The creator king gives to the created thing everything that the created thing needs to survive. Okay. Y'all not feeling it, brother. Okay, stay with me. Allow me to go through this soliloquy in my head. Let me share this with you. Whenever God wanted to create a thing, he spoke to a thing. And out of the thing that he spoke to came the thing that he wanted to create. Some of y'all remember me sharing this with you? Whenever God wanted to create a thing, he spoke to a thing. And out of the thing that he spoke to came the thing that he wanted to create. Now, whenever God wanted to create, when he wanted to create fish, he spoke to the water. Fish start swimming around. When God wanted to create birds, bees, trees, he spoke to the earth. And out from the earth came the thing that he wanted to create, up point to trees. When God wanted to create man, who did he speak to? Go on back, check your Bible, go back into Genesis. Who did he speak to? He didn't speak to the earth. He didn't speak to the water. When God wanted to create man, he said, come, let us make man in our image. He spoke to himself when he wanted to create man. He didn't speak. Why? Watch this. I'm going somewhere. Here's what I want you to understand. Let me slow down. The created thing needs the thing that created it. The created thing needs the thing that it created. It needs the thing that it came out of in order to survive. Pull a fish out of water. Lay the fish on the ground and watch what happens. Why is it dying? Because it needs the thing that it came out of in order to survive. Pull a tree branch off of it. Lay it on the ground. It's going to die. Why? Because it needs the thing that it came out of in order to survive. It needs the earth to survive. Okay. You and I, where did we come from? What were we created out of? Not the earth, not the sea. As some scientists would have you to believe that we crawled out of the sea and after a couple of millions of years, we turned into what we are now. No. We came from God. So the thing that came out of the thing that God spoke to that he wanted to create, it needs the thing that it came out of in order to survive. We need God in order to survive. You can't live without him. So why would you not allow him to be your shepherd? Because he has all of your provisions. He gives you life. That's the provision that Christ provided for us, is he gave us life. Without life, you're dead. Without Christ in our lives, we're dead. Why? Because we need the thing that we came out of in order to survive. I can't make it any plainer now. Okay. But now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. So here's what I need you to understand. Anytime, remember this. Anytime you crave the created more than the creator, you're creating for yourself a crisis. Could it be that in our world that we live in today, kingdom disciples, that the world is in such a mess that we're in right now is because instead of wanting the creator, all we want, all we seek after is these created things. They can't bring you glory. They can't bring you joy. The joy is incomplete. They can't make you happy, because once you get more, we realize that, because once you get one thing, you got to get more. You see, understand this. You don't need the created. You need the creator. Psalms 84 and 11 says, the Lord will not withhold any good thing from those who do what is right. God ain't trying to hold nothing back from you. Maybe we're not just doing right in the sight of the Lord. And that's why we're striving to become kingdom disciples, so that we can put God first and all those other things the Lord will take care of. He'll even provide. Why? Because he is a provider. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack no thing. The ecclesiastical writer put it this way in Ecclesiastes 5 and 10. He said, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. Not suggesting that there's something wrong with wealth, not suggesting that there's something wrong with having money. But the thing is, if that's what your priority is, you will never have enough. Ecclesiastes 5 and 15 says, everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and everyone comes, so they depart. They take no thing from their toil that they can tear, that they can carry in their hands. When you and I leave this earth, we can't take nothing with us. No thing can we take from this earth that has been created, other than our soul. You know, John D. Rockefeller at the time was the richest man in the world. His accountant was asked, how much did he leave? And his accountant replied, you know the response, everything. Elvis Presley, Elvis the King Presley, he had millions of dollars and fans, but once he said that his mother was the only person that he knew that was his real friend. He died of a drug overdose on a cold bathroom floor. Dorothy Dandridge, at her time, a starlet of great claim and beauty, age 42, overdose of antidepressants. When they found her, she had little more than $2 in her account. J. Paul Getty, so mean and so nasty, and one of the richest men who ever lived, he had 3 Alaskan-trained killer dogs outside of his door to keep away visitors, black drapes on his windows to keep the sunlight out. But one night, death got in over the sleeping dogs. Death got in through the drapes and said to him, tonight your soul is required in judgment. Then who shall those things be that you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What does it profit a man? What does it profit a man if you gain? I wish I had a Bible reader. Y'all know the whole world just to lose your soul. Listen, kinfolk, everything you see is going to be left to people you don't even know. Okay, you're not feeling it, brother. Y'all know I'm gonna leave my stuff to my kids. I'm gonna leave everything you see gonna be left to somebody you know. Oh yeah, they're gonna hold on to some of your stuff. But some of your stuff gonna end up in the Goodwill. Mama don't want to, she's never used this in any gigs. I mean, I can't do anything with it. Maybe I can bless somebody else with it. It's gonna go to the Salvation Army. So what are you saying, Brother Murphy? What I'm trying to suggest to you is that what we need is not more things. What we need is a shepherd. Why? Because the shepherd will provide you with all of the things that you and I need. Because he knows what we need. Listen to this. Let me give you this principle that you can pull on. Your stuff is not yours. Your stuff is not yours. Which suggests and begs the question, then who owns it? Who owns it? Well, we know that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He knows that he owns the birds, the mountains, the creatures, the field is his. If he was hungry, he wouldn't tell you. If God owns it all, sounds like to me, then we need to go to the owner. That is the shepherd. When you know that the Lord is your shepherd, you have the power of love behind you, the Holy Spirit within you, and all of heaven ahead of you. If the Lord is your shepherd, you have grace for everything, direction for every time, a candle for every dark corner, and an anchor for every stone. Listen to me, church. Write this down. I read somewhere something that captivated my attention, and what it said was, what I have in the Lord is greater than what I don't have in life. What I have in the Lord is greater than what I don't have in life. And when I have the Lord as my shepherd, I lack no thing. He put shoes on my feet. He put clothes or food on my table, clothes on my back. I know my God is able. When I know the Lord is my shepherd, that means that I know that there are some things I just don't have to have in my life. You see, that means that there are some people I may have to let go of in my life. But I'm not going to let go of my shepherd. There are some places I may have to let go of. But I'm not going to let go of my shepherd. There are some things that I want to do the way I want to do them. I'm going to have to let go of doing things the way that I want to do them. Because I have a shepherd who's going to lead, guide, direct, and show me the way to go. Even in the difficult times of our lives. When we don't know what direction, which way to turn, left or right. The doctors have already shaken their head and said, we've done all that we can do. God will still provide for you. And when you know that the Lord is your shepherd, that means you don't have to have everything you see. We live in a world of consumerism where we have been driven to purchase, to buy, consume, more. You don't have to have everything you see, young folk. Old folk know that as well, because everything that you see, as the old folks used to say, all things that glitter are not gold. So now you can free yourself from the prison of always wanting. You can free yourself. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, on one of his first sermons, when he preached, as a young man in the synagogue, and he said, now the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Today you can be free from your prison of always wanting. Just remember this, that a shepherd provides for his sheep. How did Jesus provide for us? He shared his life with us. A shepherd protects his sheep. How does a shepherd protect his sheep? He laid down his life for us. And sheep always want to be in the presence of their shepherd. Why? Because they know the shepherd provides and protects the sheep. So they long to be in his presence. Whenever the shepherd calls, they answer. They don't run the other way. They call. The Lord is calling you today to break free from the prison of always wanting. You see, when you break free from the prison of always wanting, it also breaks you free from the prison of worry. Because when you, pain produces fear. Fear causes us to worry. Worry causes us to doubt that the pain will never stop. And so we have to learn how to live in the middle. You can't live for yesterday. You can't live in tomorrow. You have to learn how to live in the middle, right in the right here and the now. You see, the Lord is my shepherd is the dialectical present tense, first person singular of the verb to be. I'll say that again. The Lord is my shepherd is the dialectical present tense, first person singular of the verb to be, which literally translates, kinfolk, that the Lord be being my shepherd. You want to ask the Lord, would he be being? He be being my shepherd. When I be dead, he be being my shepherd. When I'm defenseless and down to my last dime, he just be being my shepherd. When I'm down in the dirt and dirty from the walling of the mess of my own making, he just be being my shepherd. When I'm doubtful of the outcome, and I'm doubtful how it's going to turn out, will it turn out in my favor? He just be being my shepherd. Who goes into the White House? I don't know, but the Lord will still be being my shepherd. That's who I'm going to follow. When invited to the party called pity, and you do know that's called a pity party, and the only persons that show up are you, myself, and I, me, myself, and I, he'll still be being my shepherd. When sickness, sadness, and suffering hovers over my home like a knight with ebon pinion, he will be being my shepherd. When I'm grieving and my heart is broken, he just be being my shepherd. When I don't know which way to turn, he just be being my shepherd. Kinfolk, listen. Learn to stay in the middle. Learn to stay right there where the Lord is blessing you. You can't live for tomorrow. You can't change yesterday. Three little girls as I close were playing. It was nail time for bedtime. The youngest little girl, and these girls, as they do, laughing and playing and talking. The youngest little girl, she didn't say her prayers before she went to bed. The father peeked in. The other two little sisters, they told on the little girls like little girls do. Daddy, she didn't say her prayers. She ain't say her prayers. The father asked the little girl, baby, why didn't you say your prayers, sweetheart? She said, well, daddy, it's my turn to sleep in the middle. You say, what? So what is that? Why you say your prayer? Because when I'm sleeping in the middle, I'm not worried about what's happening over here. I'm not worried about what's happening over there because I'm sleeping in the middle. You see, this is what the psalm is saying. Listen, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So I'm just sleeping in the middle. I'm just staying right here. I can't take care of tomorrow. There's enough trouble for itself. I can't do nothing about yesterday. And when you learn how to do this, you stop worrying so much, kinfolk. I was there. I'm not completely out of it yet. But I'll tell you what, I broke free from some stuff I ain't going back to. And I'm not going back to wanting all that I see. What I'm focusing on right now is wanting to be a kingdom disciple, to seek after God hard, because I know he is a provider. That's the message, kinfolk. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You should lack for no thing. God has already blessed you. As a matter of fact, I'll leave you with this question to ponder throughout the week. What are you waiting for God to do for you that he hasn't already done? What are you waiting for God to do for you that he hasn't already done? That's the message for this morning, kinfolk. I pray that God will bless you. And I pray that you will understand that God is a provider. He is our shepherd. And you need not lack for anything. Danny Faulkner said something in the class this morning that was captivating to me. He said, we need to learn to rely on the word versus our logic. Some things you just can't figure out, but God already has it figured out. Trust in the word of God. And may God bless you and keep you. So at this time, if there are those that may be in need of prayer, maybe someone may be listening, and the Lord is not your shepherd, well, how do I start following God? Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, and that in water for the remission of your sins, you can be added to the body of Christ. And the Lord can become your shepherd. And then you follow him to the day you die. There'll be setbacks. There'll be stumbling. There'll be stones in the way. There'll be detours, dead ends even. But if you follow the Lord, he'll lead you out. For those of us who may find ourselves in situations where we are worrying, where we can't figure their things out, and life has become too challenging, let the Lord lead you. There's an old song we've seen that said, let the Lord lead you. He's a mighty good leader. He led old Moses. He led Paul and Silas. The Lord is a mighty good leader. He's a great shepherd. So let him lead you. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. At this time, I turn you over to the brothers who have been prepared to take your prayer request at this time. God bless you and keep you.